Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. I'm so glad you're tuning into one of our powerful messages that is guaranteed to absolutely elevate your life to another level. At Awaken, we only want to preach fresh, real, powerful to help you grow stronger in your walk with God, develop your faith so you can take more territory. I'm praying that God blesses you and enriches your soul as you listen to this amazing word from God. God bless you.
You see, I wasn't always this version you see standing up here today, right? In my late teens and early 20s, I took a long path of rebellion, and I followed guys like Eminem and Steve Stifler from American Pie. Like, that was like my people I modeled my life after. So literally like sin, you could all imagine the sin, right? I was raised in a Christian household, but I rebelled like crazy. I mean, sex, pornography, selfishness, pride, anger, rage, drunkenness, alcoholism, just craziness, partying with drug use. I mean, so many different things that, but today I'm free from all those things. And whatever you're struggling with right now, just know God can free you from that as well. See, now through my testimony, my hope is you will see the power of God and the authority he's given, not just to me, but to each and every one of you, right? See, I had a radical encounter at the age of 15, and at a youth camp, actually, and I decided to give my life to Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will never perish, but have eternal life." And in that same weekend, I was also filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was so overwhelmed with his power, I could not stand. That's similar to the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:4. It says, "And they were filled, that is diffused throughout their being," says the Amplified Version, "with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues in different languages." See, after that experience, there was no way I could deny his existence. I knew that he was a real God. But through poor association, bad decisions, I backslid. About a year later, and I went into all the sins I mentioned previously, right? So that was not where I wanted to be, but in my mid-20s, God sent Bex. Oh, she moved, okay. I was like, oh. So he sent her in my life along with a few others, and I rededicated my life to the Lord in my mid-20s to never turn back to the world. But see, at that time, I knew I needed more. I knew I needed more of him. So we got married. We went to Bible college. And at Bible college, I started looking into the scripture and reading about Jesus and reading about the power and the authority that Jesus had. And I was like, wow, that's not just for them. That's for me as well. And that's for every believer. And it's not just for that time. And so I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. But his word says, Luke 10:19, "Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy." And Acts 1:8, "But you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you." See, I have a few stories that I'd like to share that exemplify this in my life. But before I share them, I need you to understand that these are extremes. Disclaimer, okay? And I am an extreme person who was a nasty sinner who opened myself up to a lot of this stuff, okay? All right? So, also, I was no expert, but I had faith and I had determination. And I was at a place where I was sick of the sin in my life, and I was making every effort to walk in the path of holiness and righteousness. All right. This is where it gets fun. All right, so first story. I was a new believer, and actually when I rededicated my life to the Lord, and I used to play basketball. I still play basketball, and I would get angry when I missed, like, jump shots. So I would just get enraged and picture the Hulk, and I would tear my shirt off like a crazy person, and then I'd go punch the wall. And one time I did just that. I punched the wall, and I had this spirit of rage on me. It was crazy, and I punched the wall, and in doing so, I broke my knuckle. Completely black and blue, swollen beyond belief. And the next morning, I go to church. And the ministry time comes, and I go forward, and the pastor goes, "What happened?" I said, "Well, I punched a wall out of anger." And she goes, "Oh, okay, interesting." She goes, God can heal your knuckle, and he will heal your knuckle, but he wants you to deal with that spirit of anger and rage first. and deal with that. So I was like, okay. So she prays, I fall out. And I'm laying there on the ground, similar, just like up here. And I'm laying there, and I just kept saying, Jesus, take this from me. Jesus, take this from me. Jesus, take this anger from me. Take this rage from me. And I'm just praying. 30 minutes go by. Jesus, take this anger from me. Jesus, take this rage from me. I don't want it. Take it. Take it. Jesus, take it. 45 minutes go by. An hour go by. All of a sudden, I felt something. It was like a dagger in my chest. And I was like, I'm dying. I thought I was dying. I literally thought I was dying. And I was like, this is like a 9 or 10 on the pain scale. And I didn't know what to do. And I'm like, and all of a sudden I felt peace. And I was like, whew, and then pain, and then peace, and pain, and peace. And it was like this movie back and forth. And then all of a sudden I felt overwhelming peace. And I was like, whew, I feel so good. Later I'm praying, and then the Holy Spirit revealed to me that, I was like, what happened? He's like, well, you asked Jesus to show up. He showed up, and he tore the spirit of rage off of your spirit. But it had to go root by root because I had spent many years giving it grounds to be there. So he tore out root by root by root by root by root. I felt every single pain, but it was gone, and I am free. It led me down a path to show me that there's power and authority over demons. So after we graduated Bible college, a couple years later, fast forward a couple years, that was previous, this is after, and we were living with a family member, and there was a night I was sleeping, and I woke up, and when I woke up, I was paralyzed almost, and I couldn't speak. My mouth was completely shut. I couldn't move, and I knew something not of this world was attacking me. I'm a pretty strong guy, and I was like, couldn't move an inch. And I knew I needed to say the name of Jesus. I just knew. But my mouth was like sewn shut. How am I supposed to say the name of Jesus? So I'm in this pickle of like, what do I do? And finally, I was like, in the name of Jesus, I command you to loose me now. Through my teeth. Gone. He left. And then I tell Bex the story, and she goes, oh, that demon attacked me years ago. And I said, what? And then it was like, then it tried to attack me again. So I said, I had enough of this demon. And so we called the pastor. Like, how do we get this demon out of our house? And so the pastor walked us through, you know, breaking any grounds that had to be there and taking authority over it and casting it out of the house, anointing the house with oil. We did all those things, and it left, and there was peace. And it was like, great. My brother comes to visit 2 months later. He was a missionary, and he did some cool trips, traveled around the whole world. And we're watching TV one night. It's the second level of the house, and there's a big window on the side. And he looks out, and he goes, guys, you see that? And we're like, what? He's like, there's a demon looking in the window at us. And we were like, what? We didn't see it. He saw it. But we had given it an order to leave the house, and it could not enter the house because it had to obey what we told it to do. We have authority over every single demon, every single demonic force that would try to come against your life to torment you. It's out. Tell it to get out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So then we went out and we cast it off the property, and it disappeared forever. So then I have around the same time I was playing basketball again, always these basketball things, and I sprained my ankle really bad, probably a grade 3 sprain. And the next morning I was watching Kenneth Copeland, Believer's Voice of Victory, and he goes, someone has a hurt ankle. And I'm sitting in the room by myself, and I'm like, me. And I'm just like this, I have my arm raised by myself, and I'm just sitting there like this, and he goes, I'm going to pray, and God's going to heal you. And I said, that's me, and I just agreed. I said, I command healing to enter my ankle. Whatever he said, I followed it. And all of a sudden, I felt this tingling and this warmth, and a grade 3 ankle sprain went to complete 100% healing like that. Which showed me the power of God in healing as well. That is for every single believer, right? So that led me to a path of going to like guys like John G. Lake and Smith Wigglesworth. And now when I pray for people, I see them get healed. You know, so please understand that none of this happened overnight. You know, this is not where I started. He took me from being a heavy sinner to a path of holiness, right? I learned about deliverance by being delivered, but I needed training to actually offer deliverance to people, right? I learned about healing by being healed, but I needed to activate my faith more and read on healing and miracles more to actually operate in that, right? So As I wrap, I want you to know that wherever you are on your journey, you will conquer. Romans 8:37 says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You will conquer with every situation you are facing right now, because I did, and I knew he did it for me, right? So if there was hope for me, it's hope for you. I'm excited to hear personally how God has given you victories. Come find me and tell me the victories after this, right? How can you learn to take more authority and power in your life? Dig deeper into the Bible. John G. Lake, Smith Wigglesworth, two good resources as well. Get to men's and women's prayer. Get in a connect group, right? Come up for ministry at the end of service. There'll be a bunch of powerful ministers that can help you here with that. And most importantly, determined to leave here differently. And please welcome Raul, this amazing man of God right here.
Come on. Buenas noches, awaken. Come on. Spanish is the heavenly language. Come on. My goodness, thank you so much for that, Andy. That was amazing. I just want to honor as well this house. If it wasn't for this house, we wouldn't be where we're at. My life and my marriage would not be where it's at. So I just want to say thank you with the bottom of my heart to all our pastors. Thank you. And I also, my parents are here, which is super cool. I want to honor you guys. For sake of time, I'm going to try to rapid fire this, okay? As I started, in the journey of being a Christian, God lead me to the story back in Genesis chapter 27, 32, where he talks about Jacob and Esau. Yeah. And we've heard about Jacob, but we really don't hear about Esau. And what I've learned is Jacob is the pretty boy. If you're a pretty boy, God could still use you. But Esau was an emerged man. The guy was the one that was hunting and going and getting the stuff and bringing them to this house. But this story comes into place where we all know that Jacob stole from his brother. Yeah. And I was like, dude, so what happened to that guy? Yeah. Like, what we know about, like, God bless me. I won't let you go until you bless me. Yeah. But what happened to Esau? And I see that I read the story, and the story says that he walks in his brother and he finds that he's taking the blessing for what actually he deserves. Can I tell you something? That there's nothing worse than doing everything you're supposed to do and not get everything you're supposed to get. And if I'm honest, that happened to me. So I grew up as a PK. If you don't know, it's a poor kid. It's a pastor's kid. And I knew what was going to do. I saw miracles. I saw everything, but I saw a lot of lack in my life. And I said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to ever be a pastor. What I want to do is I literally want to go to law school. So I went to law school, got graduated, and I had my own law firm. Those a little fun note, but and then I saw this white girl, and I was, dude, she's so hot. And I was like, Selena, you're gonna be Selena Barajas. You know? And we fall in love, we got married, we got to the point where God starts blessing our marriage, and I said, hey, I got this house in TJ for you, because I grew up in TJ, on the water, if you want, 24/7 maid. She goes, you crazy if you think I'm going to move to TJ. So I was like, well, get a job, and we'll move to the States. And as we go to the States, God did some miracles in our lives. What I found out is that when you have a calling from God, either you run towards it or you just delay it. And what happened was is that speaking, being under the house of a priest, being under the house of someone that I saw that God used them for miracles and prayer and so amazing stories, God said, I want you to start that. And this is where it goes into my journey. Was in 2016, my wife and I decided to open a church. Something I said I would never do. And I start seeing the hand of God, and I start seeing God being blessed and blessing it. And all of a sudden, something disrupted that I had to lay that down. And if I'm honest, I walked in this door, and I would put a hand on every single Sunday when I would come, because I didn't want people to see who I was, to recognize who I was, because I was so walking in so much shame and hurt because something had died in my life. But yet I come in and they're talking about prayer and they're like, yeah, that don't work, man. So I decided, okay, I'm going to give it a shot one more time, God. This is literally my story, what Esau is doing. He literally goes and doing, he was in the will of the Father and he comes back to his house and someone else is taking what he deserves. So you told me to start this church. You told me to pray and fast, but yet this person gets the blessing. Come on, somebody. Can I just say what I learned in my walk is someone else's blessing doesn't have to be your curse. Just because he has it doesn't mean you can't have it. So I started walking into the calling again. The biggest disruption happened in my life. The devil attacked my marriage. So I'm here. Are you for real? Is this Job 2.0? Like, what is going on? To a point where a lot of friends that are in this house right now, they would text me, how are you doing? Are you okay? Texting. I got to a point that I got so angry with God that I would walk in the house and I would see my wife praying and I would see my wife taking communion. And I went to her and I said, why do you do that? You know that that's not going to work. I was so angry with God. And then I called my dad and my mom and my dad's like, son, you know the word. You know the word. I was like, yeah, we're the hands and the feet. I'm gonna, you know what I'm saying? God used me. And I had to find out that this is what God told me. I'm gonna try to end with this. God told me this. I would stay in church. I knew as a pastor's kid, I know when to clap. Come on, church. I know when to say hallelujah. I know when to say, you come on, somebody. I knew that, but deep inside my heart was in the right place. And God literally said this to me. He said, if you don't deal with it, it will deal with you. So guess what I did? I said, all right, God, I will go to prayer again. God, I'm going to go to Emerge. The season I went to Emerge, the irony is this man comes to me and says, can you just pray for my marriage? I'm like, how am I going to pray for you when I'm about to kill my wife? Then another one comes in. He says, hey, can you pray for me? Because I'm dealing with anger. I'm like, bro, I'm about to kill somebody. I'm about to catch a case right now. But little did I know that if I didn't deal with it, it would start dealing with me. So I said, all right, God, I surrender. I'm done. I want to pray. I want to. So I started leaning into the word. I started coming again to Prince Prayer. I started again. I'm so thankful for the people in my life, from this church, from my family, that literally did not give up on what God has called them as a friend to my life. See, the testimony on my life is that. So what I want to leave you with this. God literally took me to, I was like, so whatever happened to Esau? What's up with this dude? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 27, verse 38 to 40, it says, Esau plead, but do you not have any blessing to his own father? Like, come on, do you not have something more for me? Then Esau broke down and wept, and he said, finally, his father Isaac, come on, somebody, said to him, you will live away from the riches of the earth. Oh, what? And away from the dew of the heavens above. I was like, oh, well, that's not a good promise. You will live by your own sword. What? And you will serve your brother, the guy that stole it from me. The guy that took everything from me. And literally this popped up and it says this. I bet you guys didn't read it. It says this. But when you decide to break free, you will shake his yoke from your neck. Can I tell you, when you decide to break free from what you are dealing with, God gives an opportunity to change your life. When you decide, that problem has to go. When you decide, the restoration has to happen. When you decide, the problem must go. What you guys don't know is I made a vow that I would never speak again in a platform but God will restore and cancel the assignment of the enemy. And I just want to say thank you so much for believing in me. And I love so much my wife. Thank you for taking one more shot with me. And with that said, I want to introduce Miss Kaylee to come up and bring the word. Come on.
Wow. Thank you so much, Raul, for your vulnerability. That was incredible. I'm so honored to be up here tonight. Thank you so much, Pastor John and Becky, for entrusting me and giving me this opportunity. And I really want to honor Pastor Shelley as well. Thank you for really showing me what it means to be an overcomer and how to remain steadfast in God, no matter what circumstances or trials come your way. So I'm going to go ahead and just jump in. So some of you may or may not know the story of Jonah. I remember growing up as a kid in kids' church, hearing about Jonah, a man who was called to deliver a word to a group of people and instead ran as far away as he could and ended up in the belly of a whale. And I always thought that this was a story about Jonah's disobedience. And I knew that I didn't want to end up in the belly of a whale. But what God showed me is that this story is actually about Jonah's struggle to trust in God and really walk out the calling that God had over his life because of the judgments that he allowed in his heart. So you see, God had called Jonah to deliver a word to the city of Nineveh that in 40 days' time that he would wipe them out because of their wickedness. And Nineveh was known at that time for their cruelty and their violence, so much so that all the nations around them knew them as the Blood City. So it was after Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, and he called out to God and asked for forgiveness and for God to deliver him, that God delivered him from that whale and asked him to go back to the city of Nineveh and give them this word. And when he finally agreed to do this and give the word to the people of Nineveh, they believed him that God was going to wipe them out. And they ended up turning from their sin, repenting, and going back to God. And God showed them mercy, and he forgave them. But this was something that actually made Jonah really angry because he thought that they deserved punishment instead of grace. And he was so upset by this that he even asked God to take his own life. He would rather die than live and see these people forgiven. So I think that we can all relate to Jonah, where we have either seen injustices done to those around us, or we've experienced them ourselves, and we feel like justice wasn't served, and we feel like the person or the people got away with it. And the way that we tend to cope with these injustices is to blame someone. So we can blame others, we can blame ourselves, and we can blame God. And we blame out of our pain and our disappointment because we have a need to understand. And this is something that I really walked through, where I experienced a massive betrayal, an injustice by someone that I loved. And it really brought a shaking to my life. And it caused me to question. And I would ask God, how did this happen to me? And how did you let this happen to me? And, you know, I just felt like I had really done everything right. I had surrendered my life to the Lord, and I was really seeking him, and I still got hurt. And it really didn't matter what people said or the validation that I received from men about my experience. It just wasn't enough for me. And I really developed this need for justice, where I needed God to avenge me. And I needed him to do it in my timing and the way that I wanted it done. And that's not what I saw happen. So I saw God give grace and forgiveness. And that was something that I actually really struggled with. And because I was unable to understand how God could have let this happen to me and why he wasn't avenging me, I was unable to really trust God with my heart to allow him to heal me. And I just stayed in this state of dysfunction where I really couldn't find any peace or any rest in my life. And it was really out of my pain and this self-protection that I started to really form these beliefs that I could never trust again, that I could never open myself up again, I could never love again, that I can't trust God to protect me. And I thought that if I could just get the justice that I thought that I deserved, that it would somehow bring meaning and validation to what I went through. But the truth is, even if you get the justice that you think you deserve, you're still left with the pain of that experience. And if we don't process our pain, we can make an idol out of it, where we trust the experience of that pain and that injustice more than we trust in God and his promises and his character. So God will give us time to grieve, but then there comes a time where we need to let go. And we see this with Jonah, where Jonah is disappointed in God's decision to give mercy and forgiveness. And the Bible says in Jonah 4:5, Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. So Jonah's hoping that somehow, some way, God is still going to wipe out the people of Nineveh. He's hoping that God is going to change his mind and bring destruction upon them. And it goes on to say in Jonah 4:6, now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it may be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So God knew that Jonah was in pain, and he knew that Jonah couldn't understand why he offered forgiveness. And he provided a covering for Jonah to grieve, to mourn. He gave him time to express his frustration with the Lord and the anger with him. But John 4:7 tells us, but when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant, so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. So God holds space for us to process, but he also shows us that we can't keep residency there. So there comes a time where we need to let go. There comes a time that when we're holding on to unforgiveness, the only person that we're hurting is ourselves. Right? We do have to be transparent with God, and that's something that Jonah does so well. He has no problem expressing his frustration to the Lord, and we have to be able to be honest with God about where we're at, but we just can't stay there. And there is pain in the process, but there's also pain in staying in that place. So it can feel unsafe to lay down unforgiveness. And I know that's something that I really struggled with. I really wanted to build a house and take up residency under the plant, right? I felt justified in my pain. I felt justified in my judgment. And I really got caught up in the whys. And I was like, God, why did you let this happen to me? Like, what is the point of following you, of giving you my whole life, if you're not going to protect me, right? What's the point of me going to my leaders and asking for wisdom if they miss it too? And it was just this place that I like stayed in, and I really blocked my own healing because I just couldn't let it go. And I just couldn't understand why this happened to me. And God really showed me that he couldn't release healing over me as long as I stayed in the judgment seat. So what we will never be able to fully understand someone's dysfunction and what they have been through in their life to get them there, but that's really for God to know. And I finally came to understand that justice isn't what brings the healing. And God showed me that those who perform injustices are actually oftentimes the one who have had injustices done to them. Yeah. right? So just like Bill Johnson said during our Arise conference, in order to access the peace that surpasses understanding, we have to release the right to understand. So can we trust God to handle the situation that the way that he sees fit, right? Can we trust him that he still is good in the midst of our inability to understand, right? And can we also give him time to turn our heart, right? God is long-suffering, and he gives all of us opportunities for forgiveness and a turn back to him. So I know for me, when I finally decided to lean into God and I finally decided to let go of my pain, let go of the need of justice, let go of the right to understand, that I finally saw victory over my life. And I went from being a victim under my circumstances to then being a victim over my circumstances. And I can actually really look back at what I went through, and I'm so grateful that I went through it. I'm grateful because of what God taught me. I'm grateful because of the strength that he instilled in me. And I honestly needed to go through some hard things and know that I could get through it with God, right? And it gives me the strength to know that no matter what circumstance I face, that I can have victory over it. So don't let the pain of your experience steal the plans and the purpose that God has for you. He has plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. So I know that I'm not the only one who's experienced something like this. And I bet that as I've been speaking, there are some experiences from your past where you've been wronged that may have been coming to mind. So why don't we all stand? So I want to ask you, what are some areas of your heart that you have kept God out of because you've been waiting for it to look a certain way? You've been waiting for him to respond, to give justice the way that you wanted it to. We can trust that God is good in the midst of our inability to understand. So where do we need to forgive? Where do we need to let go so that we can hold on to and grab hold of God's promises over our life? So don't walk out of here with the same script over your head, of the same belief that you can't go again, you can't trust again, you can't get back up again, you can't go out into that business venture, that you can't let people in. So just don't allow yourself to leave here the same. This is your opportunity to give it to God tonight. This is your moment. So don't let it pass you by, right? So tonight, let's just give that to God, and so that we can step into his healing. So I just want you guys to put your palms up to heaven to just receive from God what he wants to give to you right now. So Father God, I just thank you for your presence. I thank you that you're ministering to your people right now. I thank you that you are revealing to them the agreements that they have made, the script that the enemy has been speaking over them in their lives, Lord, that you are revealing your truth, Father. And I just bind and break every spirit of fear and condemnation in this room, every tormenting spirit keeping people up at night, keeping people in bondage from being able to trust in your goodness, to be able to trust in your promises, Lord. I thank you that you're setting people free tonight. I declare a release of your healing, a release of healing over our hearts, Lord, over our minds, over our bodies. I thank you for those who are struggling with autoimmune disorders, Lord, that you are setting them free right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for those who have arthritis in their hands, Lord, that you are releasing healing right now, Father. I thank you, Lord, that tonight is a night where things change, where they're able to bring their pain and their disappointment to you. So we just release the right to understand in order to receive your peace, Lord. We release the pain and the disappointment, and we release forgiveness in order to receive your healing. In your mighty name I pray. Amen.
Wow, what an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen, for more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already, and download our app. It is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel so inclined. We loved having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.